Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's get ready to rumble!
He's the fastest man on the planet. He'd have got there, rabbits.
Beers, beers and more beers. I can't wait. I can't wait. What about Andrew King? Put him in the sucker. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
Hello one, hello all. Round 14 in the books, done and dusted. Getting closer and closer towards the pointy end of the season. Look, this week was dominated by Origin players, whether they're going to back up or not. What the minute rotations are going to look like. Any young stars coming through to replace those. Look, thankfully we had a fair bit of mail earlier in the week and closer towards game day as to who was jumping in, who was jumping out. But yeah, look, round 14 was eventful. It looks like a par score was around 1,100. Anything more than that, you've done well. Anything under that looks like you've relied on Origin players, which is the basis of your teams, which is totally fine, but this sort of time of the year is where the depth does get tested. Thankfully, next week we do have the Super Trade Week, so looking to clear out a lot of dead wood. We'll touch on that later in the week. But Manly kicked off the weekend with a 50-18 thrashing of the Cowboys, and look, I think a lot of people tipped the Cowboys here, considering no Tommy Turbo. Valentine Holmes was going to be backing up. Jason Tamalolo, obviously back as well. But, yeah, Manly just ran over it. Daly Cherry-Evans with 148 was the star of the show, bouncing back after a pretty tumultuous Origin period. And Daly Cherry-Evans, I think, is a sneaky option to be having in your halves for the run home, just considering how decent Manly's draw is. I think DC is really going to lift, and as Daly himself as one of the second or third best halfbacks for Supercoach coming home, I just think the run home they have and the output the DCE can put on is definitely worth a punt, in my opinion. Ruben Garrick, look, we spoke about him back in like round 6 or 7 when Turbo returned. Garrick on that wing is electric, but played fullback this week and really did a job and didn't miss Turbo too much here. Obviously, the attack put on 50. The defense did leak 18, but Ruben Garrick, I think, was a key part of that with 106. Brad Parker, another one of these sneaky guys I think you can look at. He's 414K at the moment, but look, he's big, strong, close to the line. Turbo loves to use him. On those sweet players, use him as the sort of lead runner. So don't hate a world where people go pick up Brad Parker either. Hamuel Olakau'atu got an 88. Lachlan Croker with a 76. Carl Lawton with a 76. Money to Power with another 69. Money to Power's been putting up some pretty good scores as well, so he's one to look at for round 17. And Kieran Foran also got a 60. That rounds out the, I guess, 60-plus for the Seagulls. There was a fair few. But as for the Cowboys, look, Scott Drinkwater, top score with a 77. Hamuso Tabuai-Fido got a 70. Murray Taulagi got a 65. Javid Bowen got a 65. Not much else there to sort of go on with the Cowboys. They didn't play fantastic. Tamalolo, I'm pretty happy to say that Supercoach sort of relevance is done for this year. 42 points from him, not playing big minutes, not having a huge expectation. I was surprised with the amount of people that were messaging me asking if Valentine Holmes was a good option to be picking up this week, just considering he was backing up after Origin, and I think there was better buys for round 14. Valentine Holmes put out a 42, and look, if you jumped on him, long-term, it's going to be okay. Short-term, I think it was probably not the best pickup, considering that Origin backing up. Notable names, as we said, Tom Dearden in his first game for the Cowboys. Yeah, I think Broncos fans would be pretty happy with that performance, seeing Dearden after leaving the club. He only scored a 17. But, yeah, look, the Cowboys were in all sorts after playing some good footy in recent weeks. So, yeah, interested to see how they bounce back. They do get a couple of big inclusions back into the squad, notably Mitch Dunn. I think he is a huge factor for their edge attack. I really rate Mitch Dunn a lot, especially for Supercoach as well. I think he had a five-round average of about 65 or something before he had the HIA a couple of weeks ago. So curious to see how the Cowboys bounce back. But the Seagulls with Turbo, I think they're only going to get better after putting on 50 points, which is always good to see from a Manly side of things. Look, the next game, the Sharks taking on the Panthers. The Panthers depleted again. They did have a couple back up, but they're still missing the notable names in To'o Luai, Cleary in the works. So the Sharks got it done, 19-18 with a Sean Johnson field goal. And look, he's shaping up to be one of the buys for next round. But Ronaldo Mulitalo tops good for them with an 84. Sean Johnson, 79. Toby Rudolph, 71. Aiden Tolman, 62. Britton Okora, 61. Look, Wade Graham suffering that HIA. He's going to have some time on the sideline, and that means it's Sifo Talakai time. We'll have a look at him later in the week. But yeah, Sifo Talakai, I think he's now bursting down the door. Got the start with Teamless Tuesday being announced. But yeah, look, big fan of him. Jesse Ramien got a 49. I think he's someone to be looking at for your centre wings for the run home too. And as for the Panthers, it was all really nothing happening until the last 70 minutes when Matt Burton put on a clinic. Posted on social media about how I think Matt Burton's going to be one of the biggest traps next year. And look, I still stand by that. Watching him without much in attack, it's a pretty grim watch. I mean, at the Bulldogs, he's going to have Josh Adokar. He's going to have Nick Cottridge there for another season. Depending on what they do with their centre pairings as well and their halves, whether Jake Avarillo slots in there. But he's been playing well in the halves. So maybe it's a halves pairing in 2022 of Matt Burton and Jake Avarillo. So then what do they do with their centres, as we said? But look, I think he's going to be priced, 530, 550 based off his Penrith form and what he finishes the year on if he stays in the centres. I just think that's going to be too much to be paying for Matt Burton in a Bulldog side that, look, there's very, very little positive to take out of this year. Got a good win against the Dragons this weekend, but apart from that, it's been lackluster. And I'm just worried that people are going to fall into the Matt Burton trap, something I'm going to be staying away from. But as we said, put on a clinic in this game, 108. Appy Korosau with a 73 after coming back from Origin camp. And Moses Laird with a 62, rounded out them for the top 60 scorers. Look, with the Panthers, they're getting all their stars back, yes, but it's a case of how they're going to bounce back from two losses. I understand they haven't had their players, but it's still a mental toll. They're going to have a really good matchup this week, and it's going to be a fantastic game, so yeah, curious to see how they go. Look, if you've held Charlie Staines this long, just this is what you're going to expect. It's just a Jason Saab mold type of thing. It's rocks or diamonds, and I think this is what the Super Trade's going to be good for next week, considering you can just clear out a lot of the deadwood. Look, I'll maybe do a podcast separate for Super Trade strategy and how I'm going to attack it, but yeah, clearing out your deadwood with your guys like your Stainses and your Saabs, that if you don't plan on having them for the run home, if trade's getting thin, then look to get them out. The next game was another one-point thrill, the Titans taking on the Roosters. The Roosters ran away with this one, and the Titans, on the back of Jamal Fogarty, really clawed their way back into it. The Roosters did get the win 35-34, thanks to a Sam Walker field goal, and he hit that very, very cleanly, might I add. Very, very good composure for an 18-year-old. As we touched on, Jamal Fogarty was probably the star of the show in this game. 150, put the Titans on their back. Jared Walls with a 91, Tino Fasumalau with a 78, Kevin Proctor with a 70, Brian Kelly with a 70, Tyrone Peachy with a 69, Greg Marzu with a 64, rounds out the top 60 scorers for them. Look, I didn't watch this game too heavily, so I don't have too many comments on it. Just what, I guess, the stats show that the Roosters went out on top. A sin bin to Adam Kieran and a multitude of injuries. I think they're down to one person on the bench. But apart like with the Roosters, though, I think people are maybe underlooking Jared Weir-Hargreaves. He's obviously a liability with the judiciary, but if he's going to be continually playing 80 week in, week out, he's put up some fantastic scores and could be a genuine front row option moving forward for the run home in a position that's a pretty wasteland. So I think he's one to monitor and just work out what happens with the minutes. Matt Ikavalo top score with 107. Joey Manu with a 97 playing fullback with James Tedesco out. I'll touch on that as well. I mean, was cleared to play this week, was basically named to play. Trent Robinson came out and said he would play, and then last minute just pulled. And for guys that aren't following team news, it's a kick in the teeth. I mean, yeah, he apparently didn't pass the captain's run, but surely the Roosters knew beforehand that hip issue was going to continue. So, yeah, look, it sucks for James Tedesco owners, but yeah, you move on, take the AE and go from there. Angus Crichton with an 87 with that absolute disrespect to Jaden Campbell, sticking the tongue out and probably had his pants pulled down a little bit. I think he was pretty lucky to be given that try. In my opinion, it was a double movement. As we said, Jared Weir-Hargreaves with a 79, Sam Walker with a 69, Daniel Tupu with a 62, rounds out the top 60 for them. I think Adam Kieran's a breath of fresh air for this Roosters side. I really rate him highly as a footballer. I guess disappointment here was Steely Tupanua with a 36, Joseph Swaley with a 32 as well. Guys would have played Swaley when they found out the news about Tedesco and had a 32, no attacking stats, but yeah, you expect that from a young guy. You expect the highs and lows. We saw it with Sam Walker in previous weeks. The next game, the Rabbitohs taking on the Knights, and the Rabbitohs getting the job done 24-10 in a bit of a grind affair. Blew out sort of towards the end. Alex Johnson, 124, hat-trick hero. This is another one of these rocks and diamonds players. When you get him on a good week, you're going to get some sensational scores. He's the end point of that left-hand side attack, and with the draw they've got coming up, expect him to be going down that side plenty of times. Cody Walker with a 76. Burns with a 60 as well. A lot of guys in the mid-50s and low 40s. Latrell Mitchell backing up after Origin with a 48. Adam Reynolds with a 49. No surprise to see Damian Cook rested. Benji Marshall coming in playing a bit of 9. Didn't do a whole lot. 23 points for Supercoach. I think he was more so a plug-and-play option in the draft options rather than classic. For the Knights, they had 3 men go over 60. The men on debut, Jake Clifford for the club, he scored a 62. Kurt Mann with a 66 in the centres, and Jacob Saifidi with a 67. The Knights, there they get a bunch of troops back this week, don't they? They get Pierce Ponga, basically the two main stars of that attack. They do lose Bradman Best. I'm going to work out what we're going to have to do with Bradman Best. The Knights have a phenomenal run home. Whether he's worth keeping, he's bottom down price, he's 350k or something, so that's a conversation that Bradman Best owners probably have to have with themselves. Are they going to hold him for the run home, or are they going to cash in, basically, at a historic low for him, just with the output that he was going? I think he was on track for a good game, but yeah, that syndesmosis injury has sidelined him for, I think, up to 8 weeks, so... Yeah, look, great to see Dominic Young get a start. Look, you know how highly I've rated him all preseason. Was really happy to see him get the start with a 52. Mitch Barnett continues to, who knows? Who knows what he's done to Adam O'Brien? Started off the bench, scored a 47. Connor Watson with a 34. Those two guys, I think their time in the sun is done. And we'll be looking to move them on ASAP, in my opinion. If not this week, definitely the week of the Super Trade. So, yeah, not a huge much talk about this game. Alex Johnson really stole the show with Cody Walker on that left-hand side. The Raiders found some form, 38-16 against the Broncos. Bally Simonson back at fullback, 116. And, yeah, I'm looking at picking him up this week personally. I think he's going to be a decent option. If Ricky Stewart's going to continue to play him at fullback, Charles Nicholstar is out for the season. Caleb Aiken had a shot and back in reserve grade. If Bally Simonson's going to stay there, I think he's 350-360k. I'd definitely be looking at picking him up. Josh Papali'i with a 97. Jack White with an 83. Matt Tomoko with an 83. Emre Guler with an 82. Rounds out the... I guess the people over 60. We'll talk on Corey Hadawira-Nida, 56, got sent for the HIA with that hit from Hetherington. Oh, look, I think, yeah, it was definitely accidental, shoulder to the head. I think the referee probably could have used some common sense there, maybe a sin bin, but definitely not a send-off in my opinion. I understand the rules around that, but there was no intent. It wasn't, reckless or anything like that. It was just... Corey Hadawira-Nida slipped, collected the shoulder, and look, he was off for 15 minutes. Thankfully, he passed. He's got a try bag to 56, which is, I guess, okay, considering the circumstances that happened, but you want to see more from a guy with historically a decent base over the last couple of weeks. For the Broncos, they were hit with the news of Xavier Coates' injury before the game, the hamstring injury. A couple of changes shifted around. That says Selwyn Cobbe with a 66, Tevita Pengo with a 63, Matt Lodge with a 61, Jesse Arthurs with a 60, rounding out the guys that scored over 60. I want to give a huge shout-out to Payne Haas, backing up after Origin. Just continues to put a shift in for club week in, week out. Hopefully he can get a move somewhere a little bit better. You look at someone like a James Fisher-Harris, who people say is probably the best forward in the game. The fact that Penrith win the ruck consistently, I think that helps his job massively. But you look at what Payne Haas does week in, week out in a side that gets flogged on the advantage line. I think his ability to keep going forward holds him in high regard, and especially coming back after Origin. So if you're a Payne Haas owner, I wouldn't be looking at this score too badly and thinking the worst, but definitely one to monitor if you're looking to pick him up. The Warriors 16, the Storm 42, headlined by Nico Hines with an 87. The common denominator week in, week out for this Melbourne side. Harry Grant with an 83, backing up after Origin. Brandon Smith with an 80. Tom Eisenhuth with a 79. Jerome Hughes with a 71. Justin Ollam with a 64. Rounded out the sort of high scorers for them. As we touched on, Harry Grant has only worn the number 9 jersey once this year, and it's still an incredible average. And people looking for a hooker spot to fill, worried about him, I guess, where he's standing is in the team with Bellamy. He's just putting out scores week in, week out. I think Bellamy's using him pretty smartly. Wouldn't be put off too much whether he plays off the bench or starting. I think he's going to give you a very, very similar output week in, week out. For the Warriors, this was Ken Mamalo's last game for the club after departing for the Tigers. He scored 105, Cody Nikorima with a 73, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck with a 66. Basically, Ken Mamalo's last game, hat-trick. Great way to send out a club servant when he's off to the Tigers. With, I guess, looking at picking him up, he was a fantastic option for around 17, but moving to the Tigers, they're not going to be playing that. I want to monitor to see how he does in Madge's side, whether he's asked to do many hit-ups in the middle of the ruck. So, not a whole lot to talk about in this game. The Storm dominated on the scoreboard. They dominated the Supercoach standings. The Warriors, just a little bit off the eight ball, but against the Juggernaut Storm side, can't blame them too much there. The Parramatta Eels pretty convincingly handled the Tigers 40-12. Mitch Moses with 112. Clint Gutherson with a 95. Isaiah Papali'i with an 85. Joey Lussick with an 81. Nathan Brown with a 77. Dylan Brown with a 64. Wonga Blake with a 60. Rounds out those top scorers there. This seems to be the story of which back rower for the Parramatta Eels is going to go big. It's generally Papali'i or Matto. Haven't seen many times where they're both going huge. I know Matto had a great game last week and Papali'i sort of struggled. This week it was the opposite way around. So if you own both those, if you handcuffed yourself there, it's a bit of an emotional rollercoaster with those guys. People looking at Joey Lussick for, I guess, in a replacement, I'd probably just hold off. It's a trade that you'd be making for, 3 or 4 weeks, and then you'd be looking at trading him back out. Money-making probably isn't the priority now, so if you've got no one there, I can get around the idea maybe, but surely people still have a Connor Watson or someone that can fill the gap for Reid Marnie until he's back for the Parramatta Eels. For the Tigers, Jacob Little with a 69 was the only one to get above 60, and a pretty piss-poor performance from the Tigers. It's just consistency that they're lacking. From an NRL standpoint and a Supercoach standpoint, the guys you look to stand up, Luke Brooks with a 45, Lucho Lailua with a 46, Adam Dwehi with a 9. So just one of those games where people just didn't score well. Dane Laurie with a 21. I think his time in the spotlight may be over as well. A big break even. Probably not a keeper that you want to have, so I'd be looking at trading him out. Stefano Utoimakanu with a 39. One of these guys people sort of look to for another good week after the back of last week, but yeah, consistency for the Tigers is their biggest problem. And the last game of the round, probably the biggest upset of the round, the Bulldogs 28 defeating the Dragons 6. Top scored by Jake Avrilla with 101, Adam Elliott with a 90, Jeremy Marshall-King with a 75, Nick Meaney with a 67, Luke Thompson and Jack Hetherington both got 59s just to fall under the 60-point threshold. They were phenomenal. The Dragons were not. That was the story of this game. I think Trent Barrett got his boys up for this game. It was a big win. The second win for the season. Up to 6 points now with the bye. As for the Dragons, though, that was probably one of the worst games of footy from a side that I've seen in recent memory. There was just zero energy going forward. There was nothing to really write home about. But that's going to wrap up the round 14 review. Look, we'll be back later today with the team lists from yesterday. And then back tomorrow with the Supercoach preview, all things happening. Captains, hot takes, buy holes and sells, you name it. The regulars, thanks for standing by. Haven't been podcasting the last couple of days, just been stuck in Sydney with more fun eye appointments, which is always lovely. But yeah, that's going to wrap everything up. So keep your friends close and keep your pods closer.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.